Well, good morning and welcome to Ballyhenry. If you ever listen to the traffic news on the radio, you'll know where we are this morning if I tell you that we sit just off the Sandyknowes roundabout in Newton Abbey. It's been interesting for us to see the recently published census results. They've reminded us that as a congregation within the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, we have been planted here in a local community that is a mixed community and a diverse community. So today, whatever your background, whatever your experience, can I say it is a real privilege to welcome you to share in this, our morning service. We've been looking forward to this morning, and we trust that you will enjoy being with us. I want to read to you some words from the Old Testament book of Psalms. In these words, the writer speaks about the God of the Bible. O Lord God Almighty, where is there anyone as mighty as you, Lord? Faithfulness is your very character. You're the one who rules the oceans. When their waves rise in fearful storms, you subdue them. The heavens are yours, and the earth is yours. Everything in all the world is yours. You created it all. Those words were written a long time ago, and yet they introduce us to a God who is mighty, a God who is living, a God who is real. We're going to sing about him, and we're going to sing to him as we join in the words of our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, we have been singing words that describe you as the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. These are big words that lift our eyes to who you are and that open our minds to all that you have done. Those same words contain an invitation to draw near to you, to listen to your word, and to meet with you in a real and personal way. Father, thank you for your welcome. A welcome that extends to all of us this morning. A welcome to those who are happy and feeling good. A welcome to those who are struggling and barely holding on. Father, thank you for your patience. Whether our background has been one of devotion to you or disinterest in you, our hearts tell us that in and of ourselves, we cannot approach you with confidence or certainty that we will find you or be heard by you. Father, the Bible tells us that you have made us. You see us. You know us. And you love us. In the time that we have together this morning, Lord, would you speak with us? Call us by our name. And as we pray, we join together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, this morning we're thinking about Jesus and how on a particular occasion he calmed a great storm. It's a story recorded for us in Mark's Gospel. I'm going to invite Malcolm Frew, who is part of our leadership team, to come and read to us from Mark chapter 4, verses 35. To 41. This is God's word.
That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Children are an important part of the church here in Ballyhenry, and they've joined us now at the front. Boys and girls, what an amazing story. It's a story about Jesus, his disciples, and a boat. Jesus and his disciples are out in the middle of a big sea. It was called the Sea of Galilee. Now, what happened next as they were out in the boat? Yes, Molly. That's right. There was a storm, and it was a big storm. Here's how Mark in the Bible describes that storm. Amy is going to come and read to us from Mark what the storm was like.
A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped.
Thank you, Amy. A huge big storm, and the disciples were terrified. They thought that they were going to die. Now, in the middle of this big storm, when the disciples need help, where was Jesus? What was Jesus doing at this moment in the storm? Yes, Sophia. That's right. Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples cried out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" But then something really amazing happened. Do you know what it was? Well, I'm going to ask Ben to come forward, and Ben is going to read to us what happened at this point in the story.
He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm.
Ben, thank you. The wind died down whenever Jesus spoke to the waves and the wind and told them to be still. The disciples were amazed. They had never seen anyone do anything like that. That story is found in Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, we read about Jesus and the things that he did. Jesus did lots of amazing things in Mark's Gospel. One time, Jesus healed a paralyzed man who was brought to him. Today, we learned that Jesus calmed a terrible storm while he was at sea. Another time in Mark's Gospel, Jesus fed a very big crowd who had no food to eat. Do you ever add things up? So, for example, if I was to ask you, what is 2 plus 2? What would you say? Yep. That's right, it's 4. Or if I was to say to you, what's 10 plus 10? Yep, it's 20. That is right. Or do you ever do a jigsaw and you get lots of different pieces and you put them all together? Well, in Mark's Gospel, the disciples watch Jesus do amazing things. They begin to add it all up, put the pieces together. They realize Jesus is no ordinary man. He is God's Son. I'm also joined here by Adele. Adele, you are one of our grown-ups. You live locally and you have entered into a personal Christian faith in just the last few years. What does that story say to you about who Jesus is?
To me, it's telling me that Jesus is a powerful man. He was able to calm the storms, calm the sea. He could handle nature. There's nobody can do that. My faith has brought me that I listened, I was quiet, and I was still. So in the busyness of our day, I'm sure there's a lot of people at home at the minute rushing about, getting Sunday dinners ready or breakfast is made. Be quiet and be still. Worrying about work, what the week lies ahead for you personally. Just be quiet and be still. It's in that time that you can hear the Lord and you can also have a relationship with him, like I have done. and like a lot of us here have done, but to know that relationship and the wonder of it, that this man gave his life even for me, and that means everybody.
Adele, thank you so much. And thank you, boys and girls, for helping us to see that story and how it comes alive for us this morning. We're going to sing a song together. It talks about those amazing things that Jesus did in Mark's Gospel. It's called He Must Be God. Children leave for what we call prime time. I'm going to invite Heather to come and lead us in our prayers. Prayers for our world, our community, and for one another.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, many people with different experiences and needs. Some who find their days very busy and challenging, others who find the days long and empty. Some who have a sense of excitement and energy for new challenges, others who are feeling sad or lonely. We live in a changing world, and yet we thank you that you are a faithful God. Your love, your power, and your forgiveness never change. We pray this morning for those who are feeling overwhelmed by the demands of everyday life. We pray for young people facing pressure from their peers. Encourage those who feel life is going well, and comfort those whose lives are dominated by anger, hurt, or aggression. We pray for people who feel weighed down by the demands and responsibilities of family life, for those facing uncertainty as a result of losing their job, and for all filled with a sense of loss or regret, or overwhelmed by the past, or fearful of what the future might hold. May each remember that no matter where they are or who they are, you are waiting for them to reach out to you. You have promised that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is always available to those who seek and ask for it. We ask that you will bring hope to the hopeless, courage to those who are broken, and healing to the hurting. We especially remember people who are ill, those who have had surgery recently, and all who are waiting for tests or the result of tests, those who are concerned about their own health or the health of someone close to them. We ask that they may know your strength, comfort and healing as they face each day. Grant wisdom and energy to all who provide care and support, whether in hospital, in the community, or at home. We pray also for those who are hungry in a world of plenty, for those who will go to sleep not knowing if they will eat tomorrow. We remember all who work to improve the lives of others, both here and abroad. We think of agencies like Tear Fund, Christian Aid and Trokera, who work in local communities to help people find a way out of poverty and suffering. Give vision and courage to those who are responsible for making decisions about projects and allocating resources. We pray that as a result of their work, many will know a difference in their lives, both materially and spiritually. Heavenly Father, we realize that nothing is beyond your control. We commit all these requests into your loving care. And now, as we continue in worship, help us to listen for your voice, so that what we hear with our ears, we may understand with our minds and live in our lives. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Heather, thank you. In a few minutes, we're going to return to that part of the Bible that Malcolm read for us. But before we do that, we're going to sing again. The song is entitled, My Jesus, My Savior. This is a song that speaks about the uniqueness of Jesus and what it means to know him in a personal way.
I want to praise the wonders of your might.
Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you would send your Holy Spirit, that your word might do its appointed task of enlightening the eyes, converting the soul, rejoicing the heart. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Recently, I had the strange experience of following someone to help me get to a meeting in a place I hadn't been before. I followed this particular car for almost 15 miles, only to realize I was following the wrong car. Not a good thing to do. If you're going to follow someone on an important journey, you need to be clear on the identity of the person you are following. The Bible places an invitation across each of our paths, an invitation to follow Jesus. I wonder, did you know that the Bible never presents that invitation as a leap in the dark, nor as an encouragement to simply buy into a particular religious system or way of doing things. Rather, in the Bible, choosing to follow Jesus is always pictured as a thoughtful, reasoned response to real recorded events that point to the unique identity of who Jesus really is. We live on an island surrounded by the sea. And in Mark chapter 4, we are introduced to a group of men who would have been extremely familiar with the sea. Indeed, some of them didn't just live near it. They earned their living on it. They were fishermen. And it is in Mark chapter 4 that these men, the disciples, find themselves in the middle of what is described as a furious squall. Genuinely, and not without reason, these guys see and hear the waves pounding down on them, and they feel as if they're about to die. So here is an account of a big storm. I remember talking to a bloke who works in the harbour down in Cork. You visit a place like that and you'll find people who have their own stories of being caught in real life storms that are frightening and unpredictable. But in another sense, there are other kinds of storms and they are no less real. And they batter communities, families, individuals. They batter them for a short time. Sometimes they batter them for years. As a society, we continue to live under the shadow of a deeply troubled past. Here's how Seamus Heaney describes that shadow. Human beings suffer. They torture one another. They get hurt and get hard. No poem or play or song can fully right a wrong inflicted or endured. Families suffer storms. That could be a change in finances, the breakdown of a marriage, the loss of a job, the souring of a family relationship, an irresolvable problem or disappointment that breaks our hearts. And individuals suffer storms. An unexpected diagnosis. A chronic illness, a time of depression. The loss of someone close, an addiction. Or a storm of doubt, anxiety, guilt. Or a sense of not coping. Or it could be a storm of achieving your goals, scaling the heights, and yet still feeling lost, empty and unfulfilled. In Mark chapter 4, there is a big storm. But the second thing that we see in this chapter is that this big storm throws up a big question. It's found in verse 38, and it's this. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? By this time in Mark's gospel, the disciples had got to know a fair bit about Jesus. They knew enough to know that in some special way, he had come to connect them with God. Jesus is in the boat, and Jesus never left the boat. But as the drama unfolds, Jesus is fast asleep. In their panic, the disciples can only draw one conclusion. Jesus doesn't care. God doesn't care. They're in this on their own. Last August, the Sunday Independent, in an editorial, offered this commentary on the day and age in which we live. Let's face it said, there hasn't been much coming out of the whole area of religion that could be seen as even vaguely helpful or comforting, let alone inspiring, to ordinary men and women in these tough times. Where do you turn in tough times? Where do you turn when so many have tried religion and got nothing from it? When so many have faithfully and sincerely practiced religion, only to be left with a bitter taste in their mouths. There's something incredibly personal going on in this boat as these disciples turn to Jesus. They have so many questions. There's so much they don't understand, but in their gut, they know enough to turn directly to this unique person and call out to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" A big storm, a big question. What follows next is a big moment. Let me read to you what the Bible says. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. At this stage, you could be forgiven for thinking, that's impossible. Human beings can't do that sort of thing. Well, do you know something? That's exactly Mark's point. This group of first century fishermen knew that, and they also knew their scriptures that taught that only God had power over nature. Do you see what's happening? Here in the middle of this storm, Jesus reveals his unique identity. Jesus is the Son of God. But this story doesn't only speak to us of the identity of Jesus. It helps us to understand why God sent his Son into this world. The story that we've been looking at this morning is a rescue story. Here's a group of people who are in grave danger. We could use all kinds of words to describe their situation. They are lost. They are helpless. They are hopeless. They are perishing. They need rescued. And they know enough and they've seen enough to know that their only hope is if someone from the outside steps in and saves them. Why did God send his Son Jesus into the world? The answer is here in this story. When you strip it all back, God sent his Son Jesus to rescue us. He sent Jesus to save us. Lost, helpless, hopeless, perishing. I wonder, did you know that the Bible uses all of those words to describe our situation? Those are not words of judgment to condemn us. Rather, they are words of fact that describe us. they describe the experience of trying to make it on our own, trying to navigate our own way with no one to follow, no one to lead us home. Jesus is the Son of God. God sent his Son, Jesus, to rescue us. So what does it mean to follow him? As the waves died down, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said this, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" When you hear those words at first, they seem a bit harsh. Moments earlier, these disciples thought they were about to drown. They've seen a massive storm stilled in an incredible way. They have quite literally witnessed a miracle. No wonder they are afraid. The key to understanding Jesus' question to them hinges on that word, faith. We often think of words like this as being religious kind of words. But in its original context, the word faith would have been an everyday word. It means placing your confidence in someone. It means placing your trust in someone. Wherever we find ourselves this morning, whatever is going on, wherever we've been, whatever we've done, God's word, the Bible, places a personal invitation before us this morning. It's not an invitation to take a leap in the dark. Neither is it an invitation to try harder, nor is it an encouragement to buy into a particular religious system or way of doing things. It is an invitation to respond in faith to Jesus as he is revealed in the Bible, to acknowledge his unique identity. He is the Son of God. To accept our need of him, lost, helpless, hopeless, perishing, yes, even in grave danger. We cannot rescue ourselves. To turn to him and to place our confidence in him, to trust in him. If you're going to follow someone, you need to be clear on the identity of the person you are following. Today, the living Lord Jesus says, "Come and follow me." Let's pause for a moment's prayer. Father, we thank you that you can speak to us. We ask that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Laura and Donna are going to sing for us. The song is entitled, "Come Home Running."
Come home running. just as you are, O child of God, so dearly loved, ransomed by the Savior's blood, and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in the robe of righteousness.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.